Good evening. This is Life Rattle, the story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1220, we present three stories from new Life Rattle writer, Sean Gupta. Tonight's program features the writing of Sean Gupta. Through his stories, full of humor and heart, Gupta shows the life of a suburban boy maturing into a young man. Born in 1990 in Mississauga, Ontario, Gupta moved to Thunder Bay when he was 5 and returned to Mississauga a year later. Growing up, Gupta always felt like he had 4 parents: his mom, his dad, and his 2 older sisters, 10 and 11 years his senior. He grew up with plenty of conflicting career advice from his 4 parents, but ultimately chose to pursue a career in medicine. Gupta expects to be in school for a long time. He's earned a health science and chemistry undergraduate degree in biology, and now plans to spend a couple of years in cancer research for his graduate studies. Then he will test his luck and apply to med school. Tonight's first story has our narrator, a young boy, at a family get-together, as he struggles with his lack of Pokemon cards upstairs with his cousins. The parents carry on their own struggle downstairs. Let's listen now as Sean Gupta reads his story, Pokemon Cards, tonight on Life Rattle.
Pokemon Cards by Sean Gupta. Sean, wake up. We're here, my mom tells me. Your cousins are waiting for you. I spring awake and jump out of my car seat. My mom walks to the back of our Toyota RAV4 and pulls hard at the trunk handle. It doesn't open. Then my dad walks over and forces the trunk open. Pieces of brownish-orange rusted peeling paint falls off the trunk door to the ground. Mom and Dad each carry a ceramic bowl loosely covered with aluminum foil. I cringe at the sight of sabji, curry vegetables, trickling down the side of Dad's bowl. We walk down a massive driveway toward my cousin Sanjeev's house in Brampton. We pass a shiny black BMW that I recognize belongs to my 8-year-old cousin Gaurav's parents. Gaurav is already here, I yell excitedly to my parents. Parked in front of their car is a silver Porsche Cayenne that belongs to the parents of my favorite cousin, Sanjeev, and his sister, Sapna. My eyes widen and I run ahead of my parents, sprinting up the steps that lead to a big white door. I stand on my tippy toes and jab the doorbell with my finger. I peer through the pink and red stained glass window and see a black blur approach. The door swings open and Chachiji, my aunt, appears from behind it. Namaste, Chachiji. Hello, auntie, I say in a traditional greeting with my hands clasped. I give her a quick half-hug, throw my shoes and jacket in the corner, and bolt up the stairs to Sanjeev's room. His door is open and I hear my cousin laughing. Hey, Sanjeev. Hey, Sapna. Hey, Gaurav. What are you saying, Sean? Asks my 12-year-old cousin, Sanjeev. I have no idea what he means. I'm not saying anything. But Sanjeev is so cool. He knows the coolest slang. The others nod at me. Gaurav has 3 Pokemon cards lined up beside each other facing Sapna's cards. Each of them has a stack of blue Pokechips beside them. Sean, we just made a Pokemon card club. Do you want to be part of it? Asks Sanjeev. My eyes light up. Yeah, that's so cool, I tell him. But wait, I don't have any Pokemon cards. How are you going to trade cards with us or battle with us if you don't have any cards? Gaurav points out as he pauses from his battle. Sapna looks at me. Yeah, you can't join if you don't have any cards, Sean, Sanjeev agrees. My eyes fill with tears. Oh, I walk to the bed, sit down on the edge and watch Gaurav and Sapna continue their card game. I look over and see Sanjeev sitting at his computer desk as he flips through his deck of cards. He separates the big stack into four piles. He picks up one of the stacks and flips through it. He wears a grin on his face. Each of the cards glimmer as it catches the sunlight from the window beside him. "Is that a holographic Charizard?" I ask, when he pauses at a card. "Yeah, man. This is ultra rare. It's worth like $20, Sanjeev explains. "Can I see it?" "Nah, man. You're gonna get fingerprints on it. You can look at it from here." Sanjeev places his index finger and thumb on the edges of the card, holds it up and points in my direction. I ogle the card. Gaurav's stack of poker chips grows taller and taller until Sapna had no more. "Yeah, you got owned," Gaurav gleefully tells Sapna. "Who's next?" He looks at Sanjeev and me. "Oh wait, you don't even have any cards, Sean. You ready for a beatdown, Sanjeev?" "Yeah, but wait up. Do you hear that?" We all freeze and listen to the loud murmurs coming from downstairs. Sanjeev jumps out of his chair, tiptoes out of his room, and leans up against the dark brown banister of the staircase. It creaks against his weight. We follow him. Sanjeev looks at us and raises his index finger to his lips, and we walk softly. "Who do you think you are? You think just because you have all this now that you're better than me?" The voice from downstairs is muffled, but the Indian accent definitely belongs to my mom. "Vinod, I'm sick of putting up with you and your bullshit all these years," I hear Sanjeev's mom say. "You start problems every time. Why do you even come?" Sanjeev raises his eyebrows and looks at Gaurav, Sapna, and me. "Guys, that's my mom's voice. What do you think is going on? Maybe they're fighting because one of them drank all the milk and they don't have any left for tea," Gaurav guesses. "My mom and dad always fight about that." "Sean," my mom yells for me from downstairs. Sanjeev, Sapna, and Gaurav and I back away from the banister and run back into Sanjeev's room. "Yeah, mom?" I yell back. "Come downstairs, we're leaving." "You're going already?" asks Sapna. "But you just got here. We didn't even eat the ice cream cake yet." "I don't know, but I'll see you guys later. Bye." I wave my hand, scurry down the stairs, zip up my jacket, slip on my Velcro Spider-Man shoes, and wait at the door. I look at my mom and my dad as they walk towards me from the family room. They don't wear their usual smiles, and they remain silent. They put on their shoes and coat, and my dad opens the big white door. "Bye, Jajiji," I say to my aunt, who still stands in the family room. She looks at me and waves, but doesn't smile. Mom, Dad, and I leave Sanjeev's house. We stay silent as we walk up the driveway. We get into the RAV4, and Dad drives us home. I look out the window as we whiz past the Brampton countryside. The whirring of the car makes my eyes feel heavy. I rest my head against the cold window. "Mom, can you get me Pokemon cards for my birthday?" "Okay, Sean, but there's still a few weeks until you turn 10. So you'll have to wait." I smile. "Then you can take me to Sanjeev's house and I can battle with them." Mom goes silent again.
That was Sean Gupta reading his story, Pokemon Cards. Tonight's second story comes in three parts and follows our narrator's relationship with a troublesome and troubled childhood friend. Let's listen now as Sean Gupta reads his story, Rahul. Please note, this story contains situations inappropriate for children. Listener discretion is advised.
Rahul by Sean Gupta. I'm in grade 3. Rahul's parents babysit me before and after school every day while my parents work. Rahul is a year younger than me and lives on my street, Springwater Crescent, in Mississauga, Sean, what cereal do you want for breakfast? His mom asks me one morning. Whatever Rahul is having, I reply. His mom pushes a step stool to the counter, steps onto it, opens a brown cupboard, and pulls out a dull aluminum bowl. She climbs off the stool and hands it to me with the silver spoon. I sit at the table across from Rahul. His curly black hair peeks out from behind a metal milk jug and a box of Frosted Flakes on the table in front of me. I grab a big blue box and tilt it sideways over my bowl. The cereal scatters into and over and around the bowl. Rahul glares at the spilled cereal. He raises one of his skinny arms and points at me. Mom, yells Rahul, Sean's making a mess. I turn red as Rahul's mom scurries towards me, grabs the box from my hand, puts it down, and fills my bowl with milk from the metal jug. There you go, Sean. I glare at him, but he just looks at me and snickers. I glance over it as his mom stuffs a submarine sandwich into a plastic bag with the Subway logo on it. As I shove spoonful after spoonful of cereal into my mouth, I see Rahul put his spoon down. Mom, yells Rahul, I'm full. Okay, eat whatever you can and leave the rest, she tells him as she walks out of the kitchen. Rahul looks at her, then looks at me, and his lips widen into a smirk. He grabs the cereal box, holds it open with one hand, lifts his bowl with the other, and pours the leftover milk into the cereal box. Gooey orange flakes ride the milky waterfall into the cereal box. My eyebrows tighten and my mouth widens. I'm telling, I say. Mrs. Chopra, Rahul just poured his cereal back into the box. Rahul's mom reappears from the hallway. I wait for her mouth to drop, but instead it forms a smile. Rahul, you know you shouldn't do that, she tells him calmly. She picks up the cereal box and puts it on the counter. Last week, when I spat in the sink at home, my parents yelled at me. Why doesn't Rahul get yelled at? I'm in grade 8. My mom is retired, so I don't go to Rahul's house before and after school anymore. One Saturday, I hear the doorbell ring. I run downstairs and see Rahul and my other neighbor, George, standing at my doorstep. Both of them wear basketball shorts. My mom answers the door. Can Sean come out to play? George asks my mom and looks at me and waves. Sure, just a second, mom turns to me. Sean, George and Rahul are here. Go outside and play. But mom, I'm playing Neopets. I don't want to right now. Sean, you can't sit at home on the computer all day. Go get some exercise. I obey. Slip on my Puma sneakers and join my friends outside. What up, guys? I bump knuckles with both of them. Nothing, man. We're going to go run some ball. You down? Asks Rahul. Yeah, whatever. George and I walk along the sidewalk towards Rahul's house, and Rahul runs into the street to grab his blue and black basketball that rests against the curb. His basketball net stands in the middle of the street, held upright by bags of fertilizer at its base. He picks up the ball and holds it up in front of his chest. His muscular hands grip the ball tight. Let's play 2-on-1, you and George against me, says Rahul. Since I'm on the basketball team, it's only fair. George and I look at each other, smile, and then look back at Rahul and nod. All right, you can have first ball since you're alone, George tells Rahul. I take defense and stay close to the net, and George covers Rahul up close. George follows the ball as Rahul dribbles it from side to side. Then with his left hand, he bounces the ball between his legs, catches it with his right, and hooks around George. He runs towards me, and I wave my arms into the air to block his shot. Rahul jumps and throws the ball up the net. It spins as it arcs through the air and swishes through the net. And that's how it's done, ladies, yells Rahul. George and I stand in our places with our mouths wide open. We were so sure we were going to beat him today. Damn, that was crazy, Rahul. You should join the NBA when you grow up. Nah, man. I'm gonna take over my dad's Subway restaurant. That's way less work. I start a life science degree at the University of Toronto, Mississauga. Rahul's family moved from their house on Springwater Crescent to a new house in Oakville. I don't see Rahul nearly as often anymore. In my third year of university, Rahul calls me up and invites me to watch Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 with him. Ring, ring. Hello? I answer on my black iPhone. Yo, Sean. Long time, bro. How have you been? Asks Rahul in a muffled voice. Oh shit, Rahul. Yeah, man. It's been like a year since we've talked. It's been fine. Same old, I guess. How are the stuck-up rich kids in Oakville treating you? Rahul chuckles. Man, that's just a misconception. They're not all stuck up. Anyways, a little random, but what are you doing right now? Nothing. Why? You down to go watch the new Harry Potter movie? The Deathly Hallows Part 2? Yeah, so down. Sick, I'm actually in your neighborhood. Come outside. You're here already? Wait, you can drive? Okay, bye. I tap the red end call button on my phone, grab my wallet, my house key, and slip on my shoes and dart outside. Rahul's beige Mazda 3 is parked in my driveway. I walk up to the passenger side of his car, open the door and sit down. I bump fists with Rahul, and he starts driving to the theater. I notice his muscular arms and chest, but I also notice the seatbelt squeezing his pot belly. Haha, you got D's, man, but you got fat, too, I say. Yeah, man, I've been working out hard, but I can't get rid of this beer belly. Maybe you should stop drinking so much beer, then. I guess so. So, how's life, man? You still in university? I ask him. Yeah, man. Barely, though. I'm on academic probation. What? Why? It's all good, man. Don't worry. All I need to do is pass my courses and get this degree. Why would you do that to yourself? You know that you'll never get accepted into any grad schools, and it's gonna be so hard to find a job with crappy grades. Bro, I don't even need this degree. You know that. After I'm done school, my dad's going to give me his Subway franchise, and I'm going to make mad money. Oh, true. I don't know, man. I don't think you should count on that your whole life. We pull up to the Famous Players Coliseum, near Square One, and Rahul parks the car. As we get out and walk towards the theater, Rahul stops and reaches into his pocket. He pulls out a joint the size of his pinky and a lighter and looks up at me. You down to blaze up? He asks. Nah, man. I'm okay. I want to remember the movie. And plus, I don't do that stuff anymore. Alright, man. You do what you gotta do. I need to let loose and forget all this shit that's going on right now. He puts the joint between his lips, lights it, inhales, and holds it in. Bro, what could possibly be so bad that you need to forget? You don't want to know. I did something really messed up, Sean. I really fucked up. I think whether I should try to get him to talk, but I decide I really don't want to know what he did this time. Hurry up and smoke that, man. We're going to be late for the movie.
Our final story will leave you with a chuckle as Gupta takes us to Panama. There, our narrator helps to set up village walking clinics officially and tests his Spanish and his relationship in the time in between. Let's listen now as Sean Gupta reads his story, Where is the Frozen Cow?
Where is the Frozen Cow? By Sean Gupta. Chalet jabs her long index finger into Raina's shoulder. They both sit cross-legged on one of the five single beds crammed into our small room at the Hotel Alhambra in Changuinola, Panama. I sit on a bed across from them. Should we tell him? Chalet asks. I don't know, says Raina. I'm dying of curiosity, I tell them. Who put me in their top five? Chalet pauses and glances at Raina. Raina nods her head in approval. Okay, fine, says Chalet, but promise you won't tell anyone else. Yeah, don't worry, I won't tell anyone. Shally opens her mouth and pauses. Is it Rena? After all, she did ask me to be her partner for her Latin dance class. Maybe it's Vashti. She probably likes me because she's still a freshman and thinks older guys are attractive. Or maybe it's Demelza, shouts Chalet. Demelza? She put me on her list? Are you sure? I ask, my heart galloping. That can't be true. It's probably just because there's only like 8 guys on this trip. No, Sean. She actually thinks you're really cute. She told us, says Reyna. I grin. 5 of us have flown to Panama to help set up walk-in clinics in small villages. During the day, we help hand out medication to villagers, but on our time off, we explore everything the area has to offer. We didn't know each other at first, but as the days pass, we become closer and closer, some more than others. Later that night, Demelza, Chantel, Amir, Andy, and I go to a Chinese restaurant. As I work through a plate of vegetarian fried rice, I laugh intermittently at Amir's impressions of my impulsive decision to attempt to catch a chicken in a field beside our hotel. On our way back to the hotel, I look around for Demelza, but she's busy chatting with Chantel. I walk with Andy instead. So I heard you checked out the internet cafe across the street, says Andy. Yeah, it was awesome to finally connect with civilization again. All my friends want to know if I saved any babies yet. Andy chuckles. Did you hear from your girlfriend? Andy asks. You said her name was Alicia, right? Yeah, I reply. I look away and focus on an old man sweeping dirt off the sidewalk in front of his shop with a broom made of twigs tied together. Come on now. What does she say? Does she miss you? Well, she sent me like 10 emails over the last 3 days. They started off with her telling me how much she missed me, but then they just became worse and worse. What do you mean? Well, she started accusing me of ignoring and avoiding her on purpose, even though I told her there was barely any internet access here. And then, in her last email, she was tripping out because she couldn't find me on her friends list, and she thought I deleted her off Facebook. Oh, well, she probably just really misses you, says Andy. That's understandable. I roll my eyes. The next night, our group goes dancing at Casco Viejo, a few blocks from our hotel. We take full advantage of the 75-cent Cerveza Imperial beers. Arena grabs my hand and pulls me into the middle of the wooden dance floor. We repeat the salsa moves we learn for what seems like an hour. Step forward, step back, spin. Step forward, step back, spin. Loud salsa music blares in the background. Tired and sweaty, we head back to the hotel. Rain bombards the ground as we hobble out of the bar. The smell of wet sewage fills my nostrils. I look around for Demelza. Her white dress dances in the wind as she speed walks ahead of me alone. I run up beside her. Rain soaks my black t-shirt. Hey, do you want to play a game? I ask. She turns her head and her dark brown curls unveil hazel eyes and pink lips. What? Let's pretend we're on an adventure. Huh? Let's run as fast as we can between each sidewalk covering, and whoever gets least wet wins. Okay. We chuckle as we bolt through the warm Panamanian rain together. Alicia would never do something like this. The sun disappears behind a tattered building across from the Hotel Alhambra. Our team leader, Pablo, walks ahead of us with his gray and green backpack as we walk along a dirt road. If you want to wander the streets, make sure you use the buddy system, warns Pablo in his Spanish accent. Yes! I seize another opportunity to spend time with Demelza. I turn to her. Hey, do you want to go get some ice cream? I ask. Okay, she stutters. We walk away from the group and we chat. We talk about how she decided to come on the trip to make a difference in the world, and how I decided to come on the trip to experience a new culture, and how we both wanted to become doctors. Wait, Do you know where we're going? Demelza asks. Nope, but don't worry. I'm sure ice cream won't be hard to find. As we walk along the dirt road, we pass a grocery store that flaunts a table stacked with plantains and mangoes, but no ice cream parlor. We walk some more. Maybe someone at the gas station can point us in the right direction, Demelza suggests. Good idea. We walk past a man filling his pale green scooter from a pump labeled gasolina. I open the shop door and we walk towards a man standing at the counter. Hola, hello, the storekeeper greets us. Hola, ¿cómo estás? Hi, how are you? I ask in a broken accent. I feel so badass using the Spanish I learned this week. Está bien, I am good, he replies. Then he says some words we don't understand. Oblivious to our obvious lack of Spanish knowledge, we continue talking to the man. ¿Dónde la? Where is a, I freeze and look at Demelza. She looks at me, then looks at the shopkeeper, and starts licking an imaginary ice cream cone. The man looks confused. ¿Dónde la vache glacée? I ask, again, this time mixing in French, hoping he will somehow understand. He looks back at me blankly. I think I just asked where the frozen cow was. Ice cream? Demelza tries in English. You know, from a cow, I say. I start to milk imaginary udders. Demelza snorts at my hand gestures. I smile. The man stares at us and then his face turns red. No, 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 he shouts. We walk out of the store. As we walk back to the Hotel Alhambra, empty-handed, we laugh about what had just happened until my stomach hurts. I haven't laughed so heartedly in ages. 2 days pass and our trip comes to an end. I scurry around my room. I grab my soggy swim shorts, my damp towel, my smelly clothes, my toothbrush, and stuff it all in my black suitcase. I run to join the others in our big blue bus whose air conditioning never seems to work. We head to the San Jose airport. As I wait in line to get my boarding pass, I reflect on the trip. The memories bring a smile to my face. Demelza stands behind me. I turn around and steal another glance at her. Aren't you excited to go home to your girlfriend? She asks. Yeah.
That was Sean Gupta reading his story, Where is the Frozen Cow? That concludes Life Rattle number 1220. My name is Lori Callis. I recorded Sean reading his stories. Life Rattle was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Achtman. Tune into Life Rattle next Sunday night at 9 to hear two more stories from Sean Gupta.